Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Do we realize how devastating the year of 2011 has been? And my friends, do we realize that things are not going to get any better anytime soon? But I'm also here to tell you some good news, which I will address at the end of this program. But first, I'd like to go back to what happened in 2011. And here I found a very interesting article in The Local, which is a European paper, saying on January 5, and this is the headline, "Disasters made 2011 most expensive year ever." Ever. And here is what it says. According to a report published Wednesday by the Munich-based insurance company Munich Re, the world faced total losses of $380 billion, over $150 billion more than 2005, the previous record year. But 2011 was not merely a year of financial losses, as over 27,000 lives were claimed by natural catastrophes. The figures reveal that two-thirds of the final figure stem from earthquakes early in the year in Japan and New Zealand. Over 16,000 people were killed in what was believed to be the most powerful earthquake in Japan's history. The quake measured 9.0 on the Richter scale and caused total losses of around $210 billion. Now, Jesus Christ has told us that we can expect more and more earthquakes shaking this planet before he will return. This article goes on to say, earlier in the year, a string of powerful earthquakes hit Christchurch in New Zealand. One earthquake alone, which measured 6.3 on the Richter scale, cost $16 billion worth of damage. And then this article continues, heavy rainfall caused the worst flooding for 50 years in Thailand. Over 800 people were killed, and the losses amounted to tens of billions of dollars, as well as reducing the world's supply of computer hard drive components by 25%. Now that I thought was very interesting, as the world relies and thinks it has to rely on these hard drive components. Then it says that in the United States, storms amassed billions of dollars worth of damage, with tornadoes alone racking up $46 billion in losses. So this is a pretty bad record of natural catastrophes in 2011. But what about 2012, which has just begun the way man counts it? Here's an article by Mail Online, dated January 1. Mail Online, a paper from Great Britain. It says, ancient Mayan legend says that 2012 will bring the end of the world. Now, of course, we know that is not going to happen. It will not be the end of this civilization as we know it in 2012, because other things will have to happen first. For instance, a great tribulation has to happen first, which is approximately going to last about 3.5 years before Jesus Christ returns to make an end to this present evil society. But this article goes on to say a small Arkansas town might have shown the first example of that, as approximately 5,000 blackbirds dropped dead from the sky last night in the early hours of the new year. As if the incident wasn't strange enough, it is the second time in 2 years that the birds have fallen as the calendar year changes. Now, we have talked about this before, these odd incidents, and scientists didn't have an explanation really then, nor do they have one now, because this article says scientists remain baffled. The fact that the birds were even flying in the middle of the night makes no sense, because it is not something that they are trained to do. Initially, last year's deaths were blamed on fireworks, with people thinking that the birds were startled to death. A flash hailstorm or massive lightning strikes were also discussed as possibilities as well. All three theories have been debunked, however, as the weather was calm in Arkansas that night, and police even imposed an impromptu firework ban in an effort to prevent it from happening again. So they don't know what causes this. But we know that the Bible has prophesied things of that nature to happen. In the book of Hosea, we read that the fish in the oceans and in the seas and in the rivers and also the birds in the air will vanish away prior to Christ's return. What about Europe? Some people think, well, Europe is kind of safe, you know, these terrible things, they happen just someplace else. But notice what this article, Mail Online, dated January 2, has to say. A sleeping super volcano in Germany is showing worrying signs of waking up. It's lurking just 390 miles away underneath the tranquil Laacher See, near Bonn, and is capable of ejecting billions of tons of magma. Several small earthquakes in the region last year indicate that it could be awakening from its deep sleep. Experts believe that if it did go off, it could lead to widespread devastation, mass evacuations, and even short-term global cooling from the resulting ash cloud blocking the sun. The effect on the UK is hard to predict, but it's possible, this article says, that large parts of southern England could be covered with ash. It's thought that the volcano is similar in size and power to Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines, which blew in 1991 and became the biggest eruption of the 20th century. I found it interesting that this possibility exists because the Bible in the book of Revelation, chapter 16 and verse 10, tells us that the time will come when Germany will be in literal darkness for a while. You all heard about the doomsday clock. Now, did you realize that the doomsday clock was just changed again? Here's an article by Fox News, dated January 10, saying this. In a sign of pessimism about humanity's future, scientists today set the hand of the infamous doomsday clock forward 1 minute from 2 years ago. It is now 5 minutes to midnight. That represents a symbolic step closer to doomsday, a change from the clock's previous mark of 6 minutes to midnight, which was set in January of 2010. The article goes on to explain. The clock is a symbol of the threat of humanity's imminent destruction from nuclear or biological weapons, climate change, and other human-caused disasters. The doomsday clock came into being in 1947 as a way for atomic scientists to warn the world of the dangers of nuclear weapons. That year, the bulletin sets the time at 7 minutes to midnight, with midnight symbolizing humanity's destruction. Why they did it now move forward to 5 minutes to midnight is explained as follows. The world still has approximately over 20,000 deployed nuclear weapons, with enough power to destroy the world's inhabitants many times over. We also have the prospect of nuclear weapons being used by terrorist non-state actors. My friends, when I heard these and read these news articles, I had to think of a very famous scripture, maybe you have heard it too, in the book of Isaiah. It is a scripture about what is going to happen in the near future when Jesus Christ returns. And I'd like to read this to you now in light of what I just have read. It is to be found in Isaiah chapter 24, beginning in verse 17. Notice what God says. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. Now, the word fear is also translated in several renditions as terror, or you might say terrorism. It goes on to say, and it shall be, verse 18, that he who flees from the noise of the fear or terrorism, he shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. Notice verse 19. The earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. You see, my friends, it's talking about transgression here. That's the cause why we are having those disasters. That is the reason why the things are not going to get any better for a while. because we are living in transgression. Sin, my friends, is defined in the Bible as a transgression of the law. The law is defined as the Ten Commandments and the statutes and the judgments, explaining the Ten Commandments even more. Jesus Christ said, if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. We also read that the penalty for sin is death, and that is the curse. We are under a curse if we transgress God's law and don't repent of it, and don't change, and don't accept Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. Because, you see, Christ became a curse for us, so that the curse which is about us and over us can be lifted away from us if we accept Christ's sacrifice. But if we don't want to do that, then that curse is still over us. It's hanging over us. Some have said, well, Christ came to do away with the law. Christ didn't do anything like that. He said, don't think I came to abolish the law. I came to fulfill, which means to fill it up with the full meaning. In the book of Isaiah, it says that Christ would come to make the law great and more honorable. Paul says the law is holy and righteous and just and good. You see, Paul also says that we fulfill the law if we love God and our neighbor. Christ was asked, what is the greatest in the law? And he says, you shall love your Lord with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the first four of the Ten Commandments tell us how we can love God. And the first and the last six of the Ten Commandments tell us how to love our neighbor. And that is why the love of God is keeping the commandments. That is why we are fulfilling the law if we love our neighbor. Because if we love our neighbor, we won't, for instance, do any harm to our neighbor. We won't steal from him. We won't kill him. You see, we won't have adulterous relationships with his wife and so on. And we love God if we keep the first four of the Ten Commandments and also the statutes and the judgments explaining to us how to do that, including keeping the Sabbath holy, the fourth commandment, the time from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. But most people on the earth don't do that. They live in transgression. And that is why we read in the book of Isaiah, as we have just read, that transgressions are on it. And it says, its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. Now, this is not talking about the earth will vanish away, because in the book of Ecclesiastes, we read that the earth will abide forever. It's talking about the earth with its transgressions will fall. Those transgressions will be a thing of the past when Jesus Christ returns and changes the heart of man. And then this particular scripture here goes on to say in verse 21, it shall come to pass in that day. And in that day is always a reference to the time when God actually gets involved, heavily involved, in the affairs of man, just prior to Christ's return. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth, and they will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. And now notice verse 23. Then the moon will be disgraced, and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. That is the good news I was talking about, the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return, that he will restore the kingdom of God here on this earth, that he will reign on this earth. And you are in a category, if you listen to me, if you repent of your sins, if you accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice, that you could be ruling with him, as the Bible says. That is the good news. The good news is also that Christ is going to return, because he said, if I wouldn't, there would be so great of a tribulation, which has never been, since man have walked on this earth, and it will never be again. But it's going to be so great, so devastating, that if I wouldn't come back, if I wouldn't shorten those days, no flesh, no human being would survive. There would be no more human beings. Man would have come to the point where he is able and willing to destroy all life from this planet. That is why God needs to intervene. But that is why God is not happy with the way we live as a whole. But you can be different. If you respond to God's call, you can be placed in a different category. And I pray and hope that you will be one of those who who will respond. Until next time, this is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Bush Program.